Now, we move to page 358. Let's see. This is the submission to the Office of Local Government and the LGA regarding local government elections. Moved, Councillor Valescu.
Thank you. I'm happy to move as is. I think that we've looked at some of the issues. I particularly have my concerns about electronic voting. I think not everyone is at the electronic age. It can be disenfranchising. I'm happy that we look at it as society changes. I guess I personally support that we disclose party memberships and affiliations. Having had myself a party membership at the last election, people asked me about that. I was up front, and it didn't do me any favours. But that you have to wear that. But I also think that we need to affiliations is important, because if we're sort of in any political lobby situation through where our involvement outside of council, I think that needs to be disclosed. I also think the level of involvement is important as well. So if we are office bearers in a political movement or political organisation, as opposed to grassroots members, people that are members of a party but not active, or an organisation, there is a difference there. I think it's important that's identified. And I think also that any support that we get from external sources, political sources, needs to be identified. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing if it's supporting democracy, but it does need to be open, and the public do need to know about that. Obviously, with the various thresholds that we have as far as value of contributions that we'd get, in-kind, material assistance, things like that. I also think that some of the issues about the material that goes out that was touched on in the report, I think that's important, because the timing can have an impact when things go out, and I think that sense of justice at the time. But I guess also from a candidate's point of view, you do get quite, it all increases in importance at the time, and sometimes you can take things a lot more seriously than they actually are. So that's something to be aware of, and that's something that I'd say to anyone that is in the political process now or into the future. Thank you.
Your Worship, and members, I think probably one of the most important or central points in the issue of voluntary voting is that the voluntary voter has a full understanding of the worth and effectiveness of their vote. And I think you've mentioned it quite clearly in the draft levy, Worship, that the education process is still but young in this area. The roads, rates and rubbish idea of council still prevails quite strongly out there. And I think we actually heard a bit of that during the Rainbow Flag event, where people said, stick to their 3 hours. Not for 1 minute realising... Well, no, it wasn't in that case. well put. And the fact is that our central strategy surrounds community well-being. And that community well-being is something that has enormous both length and numerous tentacles. So the more we educate our our constituents, residents, voters on this element, the better for them, and of course the better for the enrichment of council, because it is likely to involve a higher quality selection process in its outcome. If we end up with a no-win in that effort, and we have such a weak average voting participation of around 30%, it leaves the system open to manipulation, and we don't need to go into examples of how that might happen, but certainly we would all know that it's quite possible. Certainly also within small territories where people can become highly organised very quickly using social media or any other program. So my point is that the education process goes hand in hand with the education of the importance also of voting for local government.
I'd just like some clarification. On page 374, it talks about the... Well, it's actually the letter that we're going to send off. But there's a veiled suggestion under voter participation that the City of Marion might favour compulsory voting, but would leave the reader unsure.
Quickly intercept there. My understanding is that because our letter is based on a range of views from elected members that went that went back to staff to compile, it is indeed something that would create uncertainty in the mind of the reader, because it's representing diametrically opposed views. But please, go on.
Well, I don't know whether it's been tested appropriately. We've all been asked for comment. But when it comes to the crunch, sending off a vague letter to back to government is probably not in our best interest. Because it's interesting, we hear the talk about informed voting, and then we talk about 30% is not really giving a good representation. In fact, in one of our wards, it's less than that. Try 20. I think that it's high time for us as local government to stand up and say, look, if compulsory voting is good for the federal government and it's good for the state government, it should be good for us. Why do we perceive ourselves as lesser people in terms of community representation than we do the other two levels of government? And I'm not happy with this vague response. It's a waste of somebody's time to read, really.
Well, Councillor Hull, are you suggesting that it would be better to take the paragraph out if there's
I would like to test the water and see that we actually put in there that the City of Marion believes that compulsory voting is the only equitable way to go forward to actually be accepted as a true level of government. I can move an amendment.
You're moving an amendment?
Yep, and the amendment is essentially that the City of Marion supports compulsory voting.
Well, Councillor Hull, just in terms of the letter to make it easier, if you looked at page 374, the middle of the page, members, Councillor Hull, just have a look at this. If you took out the beginning of the, before the two dot points, Council noted that compulsory voting, just left in the first dot point and deleted the second one, that would then capture your point of view, wouldn't it?
Well, it would go some way.
Just an easy way of doing the amendment, that's all.
No, well, I'll take your advice on that.
Yeah. I must say, I think they've got the marketing for the voting all wrong. I think instead of all of these, this is the Mayor commenting from the Chair, I'm just waiting for a point of order.
In terms of political involvement, Mr. Mayor, I can only suggest that the heat couldn't get much stronger for me in the last election from sections of our political parties. It's game on as far as I'm concerned. They can all take a number.
You finished, Councillor Hull? What I was going to say is I think the marketing campaign's all wrong. Rather than all this namby-pamby come out and vote stuff, I think we should heavily publicise please don't vote do not vote unless you're intelligent, you've read everything and you know your candidates. Stay away on polling day. But then again, that's just the other point of view. So, Councillor Hulls, we haven't moved the motion yet, have we?
Your Worship, that amendment doesn't make sense to some of us.
Okay, well...
I think Councillor Hulls should just say, if he wants to support it, he supports it, rather than tinkering with those words. Just say that Council supports compulsory voting, full stop.
No, it's probably a fair point. So, Councillor Hull, if your amendment is to remove that whole paragraph of the two dot points and put in something else, can you give us a one-liner that sums up your view? Sure. Certainly, that is the succinctness I was after. Thank you. Right, is that amendment seconded? Well, you've had your 3 minutes, I think. And that is, you had more than your 3 minutes, even with my interruption, Councillor Hull. So Councillor Gard Councillor Gard's already spoken. Councillor Hutchinson is seconding. You're speaking to the motion or the amendment, Councillor Hutchinson? I was, but it's also your speaking opportunity if you wish. Very well. We'll put the amendment to the vote right now under the Appleby dictum. All those in favour of the amendment, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Those against, 2. That's carried by majority. That certainly gives a very different flavour to the submission. We now can continue with debate. Anyone who hasn't spoken can speak to the amended motion.
Yes, just a comment that I do support the idea of compulsory voting to protect people's right to vote, and that I think is one of the most important things that it does. So it forces it's very difficult then in our society to stop people from voting. But I hope that the electorate doesn't misinterpret this as dictating to the voters. But that's all we're really trying to increase democracy. Thank you.
Yes, I mean, the funny thing is that Councillor Gard expressed a view about manipulation of voting if there's only a 30% turnout. There's far more manipulation that goes on with compulsory voting, because then you're appealing to people who wouldn't otherwise bother through some cheap political formula to get them to vote. It's a great way to bring party politics into local government. But there you go, the Mayor's commenting from the chair again. Are there other speakers? If there are no other speakers, Councillor Blescu?
I think that the reason I don't support this is I don't think we've really had that discussion in depth. We provided that submission and it did have some ambiguity on our position of compulsory voting. I think we need to have that discussion to actually realise the implications of having compulsory voting. My concern is that it will take the local out of local government. The beauty, I guess the strength and weakness of local government is you get the unfiltered candidates. You get a regular person that has the opportunity to represent their community without having to have any sort of backing, political backing. Once you have compulsory voting, you're looking at a situation where you need networks to be able to staff the booths, a whole lot of things, and that's why it will then become attractive not only to political parties but to lobby groups. So I think that I don't support this position because we haven't had that discussion, and I think it's a little bit premature to come up with that position. That said, I don't think local government is any less important than the other levels of government, but I think that we need to consider our position. either way, I will accept the view of the majority.
Well said. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by a majority. Moving along to page 381 of the agenda. Now, Councillor Appleby's leaving the meeting. Councillor Kerry's leaving the meeting.
Third that matter.
So, are there other... Is Councillor Westwood on the DAP as well? Well, there's a suggestion that there might be a conflict of interest. I'd ask Ms. McKenzie to comment. Yes, I'll let you do that. Let's hear from Ms. McKenzie first.
Through the Chair, this report is about the process, how to undertake the Section 270 review. The Section 270 review is based on the location of a telecommunications tower, which is subject to a DAP matter.
Okay, so it's not a code of conduct matter. It's the planning... Well, it's the process leading up to a planning decision that's under attack. Councillor Hutchinson.
Yeah, question, Your Worship. When is this going up to the DAP? Because we have just elected a new DAP.
Well, that's a riddle. Ms. McKenzie?
I would have to take it on notice. I'm unsure. From some of the conversations today, there has been some queries from Telstra about when the Section 270 review would be completed. And that would guide their decision-making in regards to how they're going to progress from there, and is my understanding.
Question to Ms. McKenzie. Is it the case that Telstra could proceed... well, I suppose there is nothing they can do because it has to be put up to the DAP, doesn't it? There's nothing they can do until we're ready, and presumably we're not going to do that until the 270 review is over. Ms. McKenzie? Hang on a minute. Ms. McKenzie, can you advise? My question first, actually. Don't worry about Mr. Councillor Crossland cutting in. My question is about when it comes back to DAP and if Telstra can do anything without us doing it.
So Telstra can progress with their appeal through the ERD court at any time, is my understanding. So in that case, that they could continue on down that path.
But that's in relation to another site.
That's in relation to another site.
But what about Kellett?
In regards to Kellett, they need to wait until we have progressed with the lease arrangements with the sports club.
So is there any prospect of this going up to the DAP before the Section 270 review is completed?
I don't believe so, no.
Right. Now, I note that future members of the Development Assessment Panel have left the room. Do we have a quorum or not? You told us it was 8 the other night. Well, I'm just checking the quorum. It's 7, so we can continue. We have 7 elected members present. We have, so future and current DAP members have left the room. Members, in your hands as to which way we wish to investigate the matter. Essentially, the question is either for staff or some independent outside person to review the process. Councillor Hull, to move?
Yeah, I'd like to move the motion, but the option I would pick would be the independent, option two, the independent person. And in doing so, I'd like to get a bit of an idea who that person might be at this point. Reserve the right to speak.
Yes. That is something that might, where we might need to go into confidence, because it might be relating to the business affairs of potential parties. Right. What I'm hearing from staff is that we don't have any names to put forward at this time.
Well, I'll run with that. That's one and two of the motion, and option two being the way to go with part two of the motion. Members, I move this way because I have got my own concerns about the process with this. I think that it does need an independent person rather than a panel to advise us on this. Above all, I would love to know why the co-location option wasn't explored with the SA Power Network site, which is 100 metres away from this site, which could have actually brought about a situation where two sections of our community wouldn't have been agreed by the suggestion of the phone tower on their back door. It wouldn't have pitted two sections of the community against each other, which was a ghastly situation. And above all, I have broader concerns about the consequences of this in terms of our integrity. The City of Marion's integrity going forward to reasonably represent the communities to oppose phone towers. Because those telcos are going to be able to quickly point out, well, the City of Marion ignored the people opposed to the phone tower because you wanted to actually take the income to enable you to put up lighting. And I think that is a very dangerous place for us to be. It's compromising us going forward. There's phone tower proposals bobbing up all around the city all the time, and there are a number of us actually opposing those. I'd urge those members, if you've had dealings with phone towers before or are contemplating those phone tower issues, you need to take this into account. It's folly for us to have gone down this track, and I'd like to see a review of our process to advise us accordingly. I think it's only with an independent person that we can get a truly independent outlook. The community could always say that a panel of council staff members predictably come out in favour of the council decision. That's always been the case with 270 reviews that I've been involved with in the past. And I think that to actually put ourselves above that, we need to have the independent person. So I urge you to consider that because I think it's the only real logical and definitive way to go forward.
Now, Councillor Hull, thank you for that. Before we go on and ask for a seconder, Councillor Hull, your motion needs clarification. And may I say that openly for the benefit of staff, that when we have a motion that says by way of a recommendation that council should adopt option one or option two, that there needs to be a clearly stated resolution, option one and option two, not a paragraph which sets out a permutation with all sorts of extraneous material, including cost and arguments and so on. So to make clear what you mean by option two, Councillor Hull, and given that staff don't have any suggested independent people to do the job, may I suggest to you that instead of in clause two, adopt option one or option two, that your motion might read, authorises the CEO to appoint an independent person, and then it goes on to undertake the section 270 review, etc. That suits your intent, Councillor?
Certainly sounds better, Mr. Mayor. I hope you can actually take into account that I was following the pro forma recommendation.
I've taken that into account, Councillor Hull. Is that seconded? Councillor Gard, did you wish to speak?
Yes, Your Worship. I come from a slightly different side of the affair to Councillor Hull, and not that I disagree with him in general as far as the motion is concerned, because I'm seconding it. Just to say that I was very much in support of the Kellett Reserve option, and my qualification of that was that I feel that there is much that can be done to obliterate the site of the tower to the local residents with proper and long overdue streetscaping in the area. And I have gone to the extent of examining the site metre by metre myself around the boundary to establish that view. Equally, it's important for council in an issue like this to show that it cares about the single resident as much as it cares about the collective. And it's also important, I think, that we demonstrate arm's length position by appointing an independent to investigate our processes. I think much can be gained from that as to the intent and the nature and the culture of this council and the members in it. So I do support the motion, but coming from a different angle to Councillor Hull.
Yeah, look, I've got a couple of questions, a few actually. The first question is, what, in the view of governance and the CEO, is the most transparent and accountable option of the two? And if we were to go with the option on the table, is that something that we can do with as expeditiously as possible? They're the two questions, and then I do have one more, and that will be for Ms. Dixon.
Mr. Scull.
Through the Mayor, either option one or two would be as transparent as the other, I would suggest, but from an administration point of view, my preference would be that an independent person undertakes this investigation in this instance. And whether it can be done expeditiously, not a problem at all. In fact, I think that the sooner we can get this wrapped up and the investigation concluded, the better for all.
Councillor Valesco?
Yes, I just wanting to, having some involvement in the process, Ms. Dixon, are you able to clarify the issue of the SA Power site, first of all, what the issues were there, and when that was actually provided to us in the information we received on the matter.
Dixon.
Through the Chair, and I may seek if Mr. Ballantyne wants to add any further, but my understanding was it was access to the site in terms for Telstra to actually be able to perform maintenance to it, and I'm just...
Point of order. I asked a question of relevance to this question. This is actually information that should be provided to us from the report, not tried to sort of extract it from staff member off guard tonight.
Well, there is an argument that we are setting up a review, and that sounds like it might be a question asked in the review. So
we need to make sure that any assertions that are made by elected members, if we can clarify those as soon as possible, because there was that was something that was considered, and the fact that we can, Councillor Hull chose to bring it up, and I'm able to provide staff are able to clarify that. I think that on controversial issues, if we can provide the facts as soon as possible, he brought the issue up, we can provide some clarity. I think that's the appropriate thing to do.
Yeah,
if it hadn't been brought up, I
order,
would have asked...
Order. Yeah, willing to give this the benefit of the doubt, let it run a bit. Ms. Dixon, anything further?
Through the Chair, I can confirm that the advice from Telstra was that that site wasn't appropriate from a technical point of view. The exact details, I can take that on notice and send that out to elected members.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers? And I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Otherwise against, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. So if, we'll just see what we have next, but we may want to invite, we have another 270 review, but nonetheless we should invite other members in. I understand that councillors Crossland and Byram may wish to remain out for this item due to a perceived or potential conflict of interest. So for those members coming back in, we're on page 384, dealing with the section 270 review of the council process for the Reserve Street Dog Park. And if we're going to go ahead, then the mover can indicate whether option one or option two might be better. So Councillor Price left the room as well. Looking for a mover. Move to Councillor Hull.
Yes, I'd like to move the motion again and embed in that motion your wordsmithing, Mr. Mayor, to actually go with option two again, with the appropriate verbiage to endorse the or request the CEO take that step. Once again, for the same reasons, I think we do need to have an independent person advise us on this. I have to be probably guarded in what I say because it might reflect on another item tonight, which is a confidential item, but I do see synergy in this to a point where if there was another train of inquiry, that the two could actually share notes because there is some commonality in here. And I would actually like to see with both of those processes that there's nothing left unturned, that we are not just focusing on an elected member or two, that all parties involved are actually looked at, be it staff or any other entity that was involved in the decision-making process. That goes for both these items. I'll be saying the same thing later tonight. And because I think the community would expect that we actually do get to the bottom of any shortcomings. And that's pretty much it, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Is that seconded? Councillor Pfeiffer, did you wish to speak? Any other speakers? Councillor Valescu?
Has this any reading of this as possibly is possibly vexatious or I don't know. I just my concern is about, and this is a question, and whether it's relevant for a 270 review, because I guess are we creating a situation that every time council makes a decision for the broader community that those in the community that do not like that decision will now have a 270 review, and they were looking at $5,000 to $10,000 for an independent review or staff time. Where do we draw the line? So just some guidance as to whether this falls into a possibility of vexatious and things like that.
That's a good question. Perhaps staff could advise. And so just before I do, I note that the only complaint that's brought to us is the simple and clear statement requesting a formal review of the process in regards to the Council's approval of the dog park enclosure at Trott Park be undertaken. So it's very general. There's nothing really specific to put a handle on with that. But be that as it may, the staff have advised it falls within the definition of a grievance. Now, The question is for Ms. McKenzie. I think, as Councillor Velescu has put, is there some point at which Council can say, well, this is a grievance, but we're not going to take it any further? What are Council's choices in that regard?
Through the Chair, the conversations and the correspondence that has been received by the complainant at this point wouldn't necessarily indicate that there's anything vexatious about the complaint. What they have indicated so far is that they would like the process reviewed of how council came to their decision point to place the dog park at this location. From a transparency point of view, from a legislative point of view, there is a requirement in the Act to have a grievance procedure. Many of the grievances or complaints that we get at the moment, the Ombudsman will not look at them until Council has completed a Section 270 review on the process. I think there'd be an expectation from the Ombudsman's office that these types of reviews are completed upon request, unless it was clearly evident that they were vexatious. So a vexatious complaint may be something along the lines where you've received the complaint, the same complaint, numerous times.
Yes, so I think another way of putting it, you give the resident the benefit of the doubt if they come forward with a half-reasonable complaint, and we go through spending thousands of dollars and have a look at our process. Councillor Holt, question?
Director to the CEO, if we didn't actually decide to do a review tonight of any description, what would be the chances out of, you know, from 1 to 10 of this going to the Ombudsman?
Mr. Scull, you want to have a go?
Through the Chair, I would say it would be very likely, and I would give it a high mark on that, that they would likely take advice and take it to the next level. I would like to point out that certainly we would rather not spend a lot of money in investigations, and there are a lot at the moment, and the preference is to get on with the job of doing council business. There are times when you've got no choice but to actually get an independent person to do it. It doesn't mean that we need to get somebody who's going to be $400 an hour, though, and I'll be searching for somebody, perhaps even the same person, to do both of the Section 270 reviews at a rate that is reasonable, and there are some people out there who are qualified to do that at a reasonable cost.
And Councillor Hull, we have a grievance policy at present, so what we're doing is in conformity with the current policy. Councillor Velescu?
Speak on that. I'm happy by those assurances.
Are you seconding the motion?
I think it's already been seconded by Councillor.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Thank you.
That's okay, Your Worship. Look, I think that it provides the opportunity for the 270s, provide us an opportunity to see how we do things and what can be improved. And it's, whilst, you know, that if people are involved, it's not a pleasant process. But I think what we need to do is we need to learn from that so we can approach an issue in a way that can avoid this. Now, whether the merits of the decision that council makes changes in any way, we don't know. It may not. But if we can have an approach that, we can learn from that, because then if there are potential opportunities for improvement in our processes and this happens again, if we have a formula, it'll be a lot easier if we do ask for a review, because we just have some checkpoints. Go, okay, we've done this, we've done that, we've done that. It's we've received advice, we've gone by what we've been guided. So if we do have to have these reviews, it'll be a lot more straightforward. And part of that, the community will be educated on that as well. So I don't want to see a situation where every time we decide on something that people don't agree with, we get one of these reviews, but I think they provide us with the opportunity to improve what we do.
Well, if it gets out of hand, we're going to have to look at the grievance procedure, because it's costing residents money. But having said that, we've got a couple on the books, and it remains to see what they'll bring to us in terms of news, and I appreciate your comments, Councillor Velescu. If there are no other speakers, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously. Thank you.
to legal fees?
Yeah.
So we're on to councillors' motions now, and we can bring in any other elected members who are currently out of the room. Thank you. Councillor Appleby to move.
I move that motion, Your Worship. I don't think I need to add anything further.
Is that motion seconded? Councillor Hull, you wish to? Thank you. Anyone speaking against the motion? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by a majority. Councillor, on page 389, this is more of a beat than a beat up, but Councillor Hull, Oakland's Estate Reserve toilet block.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, this is a long time coming as well. It's an issue that's been around for quite a while. The South Australian Police would verify that. Indeed, I've had to take an interest in this particular issue a number of times. And in fact, the first time was another toilet block just across the river, which was an extension of the Oakland's Estate Reserve, where a toilet block was closed and ultimately demolished because of this sort of behaviour. I'd hate to see there be no amenity here. My motion is one of actually identifying the problem in no uncertain terms, to represent the community that have made a number of representations to me, and to actually start the ball rolling for administration to look at ways of putting in more appropriate toilet blocks, which is something SAPOL told them to do 2 or 3 years ago in a report, I believe, that was issued by the CERT Community Programs. And not only that, the irony is that it only come to light today that around about the same time there was $342,000 attributed in the budget, $358,000 in the budget around the same time to do the toilet block. Now, because of the scheduling of the master plan, it was decided not to proceed in that year, and the money was then attributed to other toilet blocks. So it missed an opportunity then. Now we've got a situation where Touched by Olivia Foundation has been moved to another precinct, and the toilet block that was going to be part of that is no longer going to be in the Oakland's Estate. So that solution is gone. Now, the staff are actually coming up with suggestions to me of both short-term and long-term, one being to move the toilet block that is adjacent to the Marion Pool, literally just down the road, as a stopgap measure to replace the current toilet block, which is one of the new exilus. Now, it's a start. The trouble is, Mr. Mayor, that the high use of this reserve, which is a district reserve, people come from not only this city to that reserve. It's high use. It deserves more than 2 cubicles. There's 2 cubicles there now in a trough. In the ladies' toilets, there might be 2 cubicles. I'm not sure. I've never been in there. But if you consider similar high use areas in Holfast Bay, they've got four toilets. Now, I'm just asking the council to allow the process of budget considerations. I'm not talking about taking money from savings here tonight. I'm just asking the council to actually at least concede that there's a problem here that needs to be addressed, and to actually start engaging in the process of the budget process to actually replace this toilet. That's all I'm saying.
So that's seconded. Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, thank you, Your Worship. Look, I guess just picking up a couple of Councillor Hull's comments and making sure they don't get misconstrued. The men liaising in the toilet block, Council's shown with their true colours as to how we feel about men liaising. We don't believe it's appropriate in public venues, though. And that's probably where this ends. The reserve is as Councillor Hull said, a regional reserve. We do get people coming from all over. The Oakland's wetlands there, it's pretty cut and dry. We don't want this sort of behaviour going on in this reserve. And just to go back to what Councillor Hull said as well about the toilet block being scheduled. In 2004, it was scheduled for replacement in 2011, and that was actually revised in 2010 when Touched by Olivia came on the scene, and obviously the toilet block was going to be demolished. So to actually leave it there in its current form in 2015 is a bit poor. I guess the community expectation was that block would be removed, and there are a large number of people in the community who know about the block, have made complaints to the police, made complaints to the councillors, and there's not really a lot that we can do about it. So in order to fulfil those expectations, the expectations which may even rival that of the Oaklands Crossing, it's important that we do something here. And one of the things that I'd like addressed is the actual location of the toilet. You know, we need to have a look at that and see whether it is suitable down behind the mound. It does offer a certain degree of seclusion, which probably is not warranted for a public toilet block. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I just ask Councillor Hull, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about motions and funding things and so on. Do you have a comment to make in clarification about the cost of placing temporary toilets? Is that something we need staff advice on, or what do you say about that?
You're absolutely correct, Mr. Mayor. It was only today that Fiona Harvey rang me and went into some of that detail. There is a cost, obviously, to disconnect the toilet and move it and put footings down. She seemed to imply that the costs were not significant, but nevertheless a cost. You know, I think you're right. We do need to have a report on this. I guess inherently the motion is actually begging for a report on funding and process to actually make it happen sooner rather than later.
Application, because at the moment, presumably it doesn't cost a lot to close existing toilets, but to place temporary toilets on the reserve, presumably there would be some element of cost there. So do you know where the cost would come from?
Well, the temporary toilets could indeed be the X or Lose being moved from that upper reserve. I'm open to suggestions from the administration. There's nothing in the comments that would help us with that. Admittedly, to be fair to the staff, information is coming to hand even today. So, you know, even if a report comes back to the next council meeting to advise us, that would get the ball rolling.
Well, Councillor Hull, the motion is for temporary toilets to be moved there now.
Which could be the ones from Hendry Street, as an example, although...
Sorry, we're going around in circles a bit. I think I must turn to staff and just ask about the financial implications, either Ms Harvey or Mr Mifsud. Can you just explain, if council directs that temporary toilets are to be made available in the Oaklands Estate Reserve, where would the funds come from to do that?
Through the Chair. Councillor Hull is correct. Staff have started to pull through the costings for various options, and one option could potentially be that one of the exolus at the Hendry Street Reserve be relocated to Oaklands Reserve. That would come at a cost of $58,850. There is no funds allocated to this work. Through discussion, if council were wishing to approve those funds, then it would be appropriate that come from the Asset Sustainability Reserve. The other option is we can bring a report back to council detailing the options for consideration as well, and that could be brought back at the next council meeting.
Well, I just think that with the practice that we are developing and trying to apply continually of attaching a funding line to any new initiative, that perhaps the motion needs to incorporate something, whether it's you know, using the asset sustainability reserve or whatever. But you're really inviting amendment unless it's incorporated as part of the motion. So, Councillor Hole, I'm giving you the opportunity. We might need leave of the meeting for you to address that issue.
Well, Mr. Mayor, to be honest with you, the alternative toilets were basically those ones you'd see on a building site for a major event.
I understand that. That's what the motion says at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there's a cost.
Well, what is the cost of hiring that sort of toilet until we can actually... Because people aren't using these toilets now.
That was the question I asked, but I didn't really get an answer to that.
Through the Chair.
Ms. Dixon?
So the cost for a temporary toilet is $700 per month.
Right.
And there's... Yep, so there's...
A funding source?
So in terms of the... to put temporary toilets in... the cost would be $19,910.
Sorry, I thought you just said $700 a month.
Yep, but there's also costs in terms of delivery, pickup, ramp would need to be installed as well. So that's the total cost.
Right, and the funding source that you recommend?
Again, through that, it would be through the Asset Sustainability Reserve.
Well, Councillor Hull, just so that this doesn't become an issue later in the debate, do you want to add to the motion that the Asset Sustainability Fund be used to make, after the word that?
I agree. And I'm willing to run with this because... Mr. Mayor, the people aren't using the toilets now because they're fearful to go in there. They don't want to be confronted by what I got confronted with the other day. So, you know, put in some of these special function toilets.
Sorry, I meant, if I can just interrupt Councillor Hull. Really, I was thinking that in the second line there, before the word temporary... Because the cost is not in closing, presumably, but rather using or rather putting in. That's it. Now, do I have leave of the seconder to include that wording?
Can I ask a question?
Oh, yes.
It's just about the public toilet renewal program. Is that still active, that program?
Ms. Dixon? So can I... Councillor Pryor, is there nothing in this year's budget for improvement to any public toilet in the City of Marion?
Through the Chair, I don't believe there is in this current year budget. The toilet replacement program was pretty well concluded across the City of Marion a year or two ago, and therefore all the funding, other than the item that's been referred to here, as Councillor Hull's quite correctly said, the funding that was previously set aside for this particular reserve a few years back was used to renew, if you like, other toilets across the City of Marion.
Thank you. So you're happy for the wording suggested to be included in the motion, Councillor Pryor?
As good as it gets, I think. Yeah, okay.
Gets the job done. Do I have leave of the meeting for the motion to be amended, for the motion to be moved in that way? If there are no objections. There are objections. Well, then I'll put that to a vote. Councillor Hull, you're moving that you have leave to incorporate those words into the motion. I'll take that as a procedural motion. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried by majority. There is leave of the meeting for the reference to the Asset Sustainability Reserve to be incorporated into the wording of the motion. It's now been moved and seconded, and it's now open to others for debate. Councillor Voisky.
I think trying to stop that sort of behaviour is the way to go. And I think, I guess there's two goals I see that Councillor Hull and Councillor Pryor want to achieve. They want to update to more contemporary and appropriate toilet facilities in that area, and they are needed in the area because it's a stop-off point where people have their picnics and things like that. And the second issue is discouraging inappropriate behaviour in that place. And I think those two issues are separate. For example, one concern about his motion having the temporary toilets is that that area will attract vandalism. Those toilets will be, temporary toilets will be vandalised. So that's why I'm not supporting having temporary toilets there. My other concern is that even if we replace the toilets, there's other measures we need to take to discourage antisocial behaviour, because when it gets dark, the antisocial behaviour may not stop. It may move from the location of the toilets to the vehicles that will park hidden away. So there's some deceptive issues that we need to look at. And thirdly, and most importantly, I think that this is something that needs to be part of the budget process. It's something that I would be happy to accelerate, to put funding towards, because there could be a couple of options. First of all, if we do have an option for Touch by Olivia, that we may need to adjust the toilets at Henry Reserve to a point where we can't use the current ones and they're moved over. Or it may be that the timing doesn't suit, all those toilets can be moved somewhere else when Touch by Olivia gets underway and we put appropriate toilets there. My concern is that we won't address all the issues that the councillors have correctly identified, but also we're not going through the right process and it's a little bit on the run. Closing those toilets immediately will cause problems for legitimate users. And I think that the temporary toilets will be vandalised, having some knowledge of the area. So I think we should proceed with caution on this one to get the best outcome, because we're going to be possibly wasting money and not getting what we want out of it. So I would prefer that councillors maybe come back, we discuss this a little bit further, or it's put through the budget process, and not vote for it on the hop.
I just had a question, Your Worship. It's in relation to the fact that we can close them immediately, and is there any feedback from staff on that, whether that's feasible?
Through the chair, you could close the existing toilets immediately by placing locks and signage and putting that in. I don't have the information in how quickly we could get temporary toilets on site as well. I don't have that at hand.
Okay. Anything else, Councillor Hutchinson? Any other speakers for or against, Councillor Crossland?
Yeah, I would like to ask the mover and seconder to amend their own motion. I support their sentiments. I believe we are doing this again on the run without all the information. Closing the toilets and putting temporary there isn't going to solve the problem. By the sound of it, they actually don't want two tiny toilets there moved from one site to another. Because what you're looking for is toilets actually built and designed for that area, for that purpose. And I think spending $1,700 or whatever it is, $17,000 on temporary toilets, and then 58 on moving toilets, which are still not suitable, is not the way to go. I would rather you get a design that is brought back to us in a location that meets all the SEPTED principles, and we build a proper toilet. And if that's going to cost $180,000, then I would rather spend that than spend 19 plus 58 plus we've still got a problem, can we start again? And I think you should ask for that report to come back to the next council meeting and deal with it as an urgent matter.
Councillor Hull.
Mr Mayor, I welcome that comment. I'm chuffed that there seems to be an understanding around the place and goodwill about this, and I seek your guidance now as to how we might be able to take this forward with the appropriate report back to us to do it properly.
Well, it may not be the most politically expedient, but a simple means would be to withdraw the motion on the understanding that a report comes back to the next meeting. But in the meantime, Councillor Hulbert, you would reformulate in a way that would achieve the desired objective. I think one of the problems that elected members might perceive with the motion is that although the problem is recognised, it seems, the urgency of implementation is not necessarily appreciated. So Councillor Crossland's point was that if we're going to fix this, let's fix it by identifying an XLU that we can move down there, find the best spot to put it, put that in place, get the plumbing done, then knock down the old block. I mean, that might be seen as a more logical, popular means. And at the same time, you've got the political benefit, Councillor Hull, of going to the community saying, look, we've discussed this, we've thrashed it out, we may have to wait a bit longer, but we're going to fix it. We're going to fix it in a better way than having a slapdash solution.
Having heard what you just said, I withdraw the motion on the basis that it will come back to the next council meeting. It gives staff a bit of time instead of trying to advise me on the hop as well. And we'll try and do this properly. After all, if we have to wait another month or two, it's 4 years overdue already.
Thank you. And if I can offer some gratuitous advice from the Chair this time, if any other member have any suggestions, constructive suggestions that might help Councillor Hull formulate a motion to achieve the objective, please contact him, email him in the next few days while you're still thinking about it, because we don't want to lead Councillor Hull up the garden path. We're accepting that there's a problem we want fixed here. So when the motion comes back next time, I'd expect it to be one where the objections have been thrashed out in informal discussions and we can come back with a solution. My sense is that there's not an objection to council spending the money to get the job done properly. At some point there need to be proper new toilets put in that reserve. It was going to happen if it wasn't for the Olivia proposal being diverted. So that's probably the way to go. So thank you, Councillor Hull. The motion's withdrawn. We can go on to the next item of business. Councillor Westwood.
Just very briefly, I imagine a motion could be suggested at the end of that report that will be coming.
Oh, yes, it'll be motion and report. Thank you. We now go into the confidential items, and there's I don't think there'll be any argument from anybody about the need for confidential debate on this matter, because it refers to disposal of property. Councillor Pryor's declared a possible or perceived conflict of interest. But as for the rest of us, we're waiting for someone to move a confidentiality motion. Moved Councillor Crossland, second Councillor Pfeiffer. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously.